TalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar interstellar media broadcast communication studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
And we welcome you to our program today. My partner, Mr. Hartman, is considered one of the top trial attorneys in New York State, and he's argued before the United States Supreme Court.
And my partner, Randall Simonetti, is the founder and CEO of Ignition Consulting, serving business, education, and nonprofit clients throughout the United States.
Now, each week, James and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system
and inject some common sense and perhaps a sense of humor back in.
Now, each week, we will be answering questions from our lawyer listeners. And you can send those questions to us by email at info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. That's info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And if you want to learn a little bit more about James and myself and the program or any of the other kooky things we do, you can go to the official website of Lawyers Who Needs Them, which is lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. Very simple, lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And if you have a question for us, please we're happy to answer them. Send it to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. So, without any further ado, let's kick off this week's edition of Lawyers Who Needs Them. And we had a significant Supreme Court ruling yesterday, James. As you said, this time of year is when the Supreme Court hands down a lot of rulings before they go on vacation. They kind of get everything off their desk. So this one has to do with the ruling actually in favor of gun owners across the United States.
Right. This is one of several rulings they came down with, and we may be discussing others today as well. But this relates to the right to bear arms. And, of course, this comes up from time to time. And although the constitutional provision seems to be somewhat, you know, clear, somehow or other it's gotten itself into Supreme Court, the Supreme Court bailiwick from time to time. First of all, this 2 years ago, in a case called District of Columbia against Heller, in a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court upheld the right to bear arms and to own guns, where the District of Columbia at that time had a complete ban.
Very strict ban. Strictest in the country.
That's right. That was the federal law, because the District of Columbia, of course, got governed by the federal government. This case involved the laws in Chicago, both in the city of Chicago and Oak Park, Illinois, which had laws which prohibited, in the same manner
as Washington,
the ownership of guns for any purpose, including self-defense.
Right.
And the Supreme Court, again, 5-4, in more than 200 pages of opinions, although it did not decide the constitutionality of the two gun control laws before them at that, because that it sent back to the lower court to determine. It did determine that the Second Amendment does apply to local and state gun control. And the majority, however, offered little guidance to the lower courts on how much protection the Second Amendment affords. And, it cast doubts on any laws prohibiting possession of guns except by felons and people who suffer from mental illness.
Right.
There's no doubt, and you can continue to do that, and you can continue to restrict them in schools and in public buildings and stuff like that. Now, the question is what portions of the Bill of Rights applies to the states? Originally, before the Civil War, it applied only to federal law. After the Civil War, we passed the 14th Amendment, which, in fact, under both the Due Process Clause and the Equal Protection Clause, extends the Bill of Rights to the states and localities. And so, but they have been selected. The court has been selected in which parts of the Bill of Rights apply. And this time they decided that the Second Amendment also does apply, along with the First Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and a bunch of amendments. The Seventh Amendment, they have never held, does apply. That's a right to a trial by jury in a civil case. Just just for, you know, they want to put the lawyers out of business because none of them ever practice law.
That's right.
But
That's right.
What it says, in this, just to refresh everybody's recollection, the Second Amendment says, quote, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, comma, shall not be infringed. And
it's the commas that make the difference.
Well, the commas are important. And the courts have held, those in the minority, the four, which was the liberal end of the court,
right?
They said a well-regulated militia is the justification for the thing, and that it's only for the purpose of the militia. I don't think it reads like that.
No.
And the majority doesn't
say
that.
And most of the scholars don't read it that way either.
In addition to that, there's something that you'll notice. It says the right of the people to bear arms. Where the Constitution uses the word people, it refers to individuals. Where it uses the word states, it refers to the state. So this clearly, based upon their own historical construction, would mean individuals can bear arms. Now, if it takes 200 pages to explain this and not explain it, then, of course, you wonder what they're talking about. They themselves don't know. Why does that take 200 pages? Like Alito goes through the whole history of the Civil War. Why doesn't he write a book? Call it the Civil War.
Civil War.
Right.
And how it affects you. And
by the way, Civil War is the most written about war in all of the world. And particularly, it's the most written about part of American history. So if Judge Alito wants to add another book to it, I mean, throw it on a pile.
Right.
Somebody will read it.
That's right.
Anyway, that's where we are today. And you have the right to bear arms so far. But this does not mean it cannot be somewhat controls for certain purposes.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Very good.
All right.
That's
now,
a very succinct and cogent analysis of that decision.
Well, it was, you know, it was kind of wordy, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You have to use words to express yourself.
That's correct.
Okay.
You could use nonverbal sounds, but no one will get that.
Well, you can grunt a little bit.
Yes.
But that's
every once in a while. And sometimes it's good just to shut up.
They reached a lot of decisions. They must have written pages and pages and pages. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They
People
write such
writing
long
through the night.
Well, they all concur. You
with
get a guy
candles.
I concur in part, dissent in part. I dissent in part, concur in part. I concur, but for different reasons, and they all have to say that.
Right.
Well, why don't you just shut up? If you concur, okay.
Right.
We'll worry about the other reasons in the next case.
Right.
All right. Now we got.
Speaking of next cases.
Next case.
Elena Kagan begins her confirmation hearings.
She has already.
Yes, and she's under the gun a little bit, and it's been anticipated that she'll have to answer questions in five key areas.
Yeah.
So why is she under the gun, and what are those areas?
Well, first of all, yesterday was interesting. If you watched the hearings at all, I saw a little of it.
I'm sure everybody's watching those hearings.
She said only her opening statement at the end. But for the first 47 hours, you have to listen to the senators pontificate on their political beliefs.
Right.
Because they're really addressing this thing, not to her, where they say, welcome, Miss Elena, Mrs. Kagan, and General, Solicitor General, and General Newsom, and they go through all of that, welcome, and this and that, and then the Republicans stick a knife in her, and the Democrats put her on a pedestal, and what they're really saying is to everybody, look at me, I'm your senator,
right.
And listen, because I'm telling you what you want to hear. And that's what it is. It's a political outburst of what she described as vacuous commentary for a while. Then in the late afternoon, I couldn't hear it. I was busy recovering
from the morning session.
She made an opening statement which was very original. I'm going to be fair, impartial. I'm devoted to the law. What do you think they're going to say? It's the same thing 122 of these guys said before, or gals before they became senators. Anyway, she does have some areas into which they're going to inquire.
And what are those?
And one is gun rights.
Okay.
Because she was not sympathetic to a constitutional challenge of Washington D.C.'s gun control law, which was in that Heller case that I discussed in 2008, she indicated that in her confirmation hearing to the Solicitor General to become Solicitor General, she reversed herself, saying she would uphold that gun control law, calling the decision settled law. So she's going to uphold the Heller against D.C., even though her own sympathies are against it. Another thing about her, another thing we'll be quite into, is this business of empathy. whether her experience, Mama Sotomayor said that, you know, a Latin woman can better understand the poor problems people have more than a guy who's been sitting on a Supreme Court from a great law school. They all went to the, her Ivy League thing, that's never questioned because that's part of it.
The fact that she graduated.
You walk in, you're walking with Ivy. You have Ivy growing on you.
That's right.
They can't touch that. They didn't even know she was a woman or a man until they took the Ivy off for the thing. But it's a show. So anyway, does anybody know what I'm talking about?
No.
But there will be a debate about what President Obama has labeled the empathy standard. Well, empathy, frankly, has no place in
the law. Exactly.
There is no room for levity in the law.
And in this case, no room for empathy.
When I first got out of law school, I was interviewing for a job in one of these white shoe firms in New York, and there was this relic of a lawyer, 106 years old in the shade. You could hardly see his face for the wrinkles, and he was there's no room for levity in the law.
Did you take that? I don't think you took
that job. I didn't take that job.
Listen, he just fired you in the first 15
minutes. Well, there would
be
no room for me in that firm. So that was that. The next issue that is very important, and it creeps into everything, and I wish it wasn't an issue, was this abortion situation.
Oh, okay.
And we just know that she's in favor of Roe against Wade. The conservatives are
opposed.
Pro-life.
Right.
The liberals are pro-choice. And she did write a memo when she was counsel working in the Clinton administration, recommending that he support a ban on late term abortions.
Okay.
Because she said there was in that ban the protection of the health. If there was injury to the woman, it was an exception to that. So I'll get back to the others as soon as our commercial time is expired. Because before I expire.
Yes. You're on a termination clause.
That's right.
Or an expiration date. You're listening to Lawyers Who Need Them, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away. We'll be right back.